Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. We're going to have some fun. Ben, what's your official start of the season? Like when you say, you
SEC
know what?
Media days.
Media days? That's a typical answer. Some people, though, it's when these magazines start coming out.
Well,
when like
the reason it's a typical answer for me, because I'm in the radio business. And that's like our – it's kind of what – everything revolves around that as far as – I mean, we start putting promos and stuff together. So that's like the official start. It like gets real work-wise for us during SEC media days. So
well, in podcast world, it starts. It's never
ends. Never stops. Yeah, that's the thing.
Some people will say media days just like your average everyday person. And then there's still some dinosaurs out there that still get these magazines and like they get fired up for them every single year. There's still the hard copy, but they also do like the digital versions of them as well. You got your Athlons, which I remember getting the Athlon at magazine. You know, you go to Books a Million and get it, you know, back in the day. I didn't get the, you know, get it mailed to my house, but, and then Phil Steele is the one that I think a lot of people look at too. And they always both come out around this time, and his has come out. And he has put out some projections on the teams, like how they'll finish and things like that. I don't exactly know the details on that as far as Auburn goes, but what's been mostly publicized are his preseason all SEC teams and like who made those teams. I think he did first team, second team, third, and fourth. And Auburn had five guys make the preseason all SEC teams. Ben, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I was going to go down the list.
I've not seen it. I heard it. Okay. One of our shows on one of our sister stations ran down the list yesterday. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Okay, I'll go down the list, and then we'll talk about should anybody else be on there or should they be higher up. So right off the top, your first team, all SEC linebackers, Xavier Atkins. I don't think anybody would argue over that. I mean, he was first team All-American last year.
You ruined it for me. I was going to go, that shocks me.
Yeah. Shocking. there's not much to say there. You got anything to add to that one?
No, I mean, I think he's going to be on everybody's, not just Phil Steele's. I think that's going to be on every college prognosticator's list. If he's not, then clearly they've not paid any attention over the last two seasons, or they just hate Auburn.
I mean, you got a first-team All-American linebacker who's returning.
Yeah.
Surely he should be on a preseason list.
Yeah.
The second first teamer Auburn has is Rashawn Pleasant, but it's return as a return guy.
That was, I did see that yesterday. And I'm not shocked at that just because he has the ability to break one at any point in time. You got other people that they literally got new returners back there. So you got a guy that's proved he can house it. I mean, you've seen him, you know, he'd do it last year as well.
How many did he have last year?
I don't know how many yards he got, but I mean, he was one that was, I mean, as I say, the good judge of a returner is when they don't kick it to him, because they know that he's got the ability to house it at any point. So
he had that first one in the Baylor game. And then I think that's the only one he had all year as far as touchdowns go.
Yeah.
He had a couple of, I think he just had one. No, he had two touchdowns on defense.
Yeah.
So he had two pick sixes on defense. But that's not why he's there. He's there for a returner. He had, let's see, it says he returned 19 kickoffs for 412 yards. Let's see what that average is. 412 divided by 19, 21 yards a kickoff. That's pretty solid.
It gets you, if you receive, I mean, it's past the watermark of the 20. Or what the old watermark of the 20. It's not the old watermark anymore. I think, though, that, you know, I think he's okay with being on that list, because I think the way they're looking at it is he's now got a year of experience in the SEC after Tulane. And
he had to, and they probably factor in some of the Tulane stuff too. Like he was pretty dang good returner. So, he had two touchdowns on kickoff for Tulane.
I have no problem with him having that, being in that spot.
Yeah, number one, first team, all SEC returner, Rashawn Pleasant. Then you slide on down, and this was kind of a shocker, Hudson Powell. I guess he's your long snapper, second team long snapper. I can't tell you what statistic you look at for that. I don't know how they grade that, but let's go.
It's hard for me to argue when I don't know what it is that are they looking
at. Is it accuracy?
I was going to say, is it misfires or something like that? It, you know, was he? Is he a guy that's just putting it where it needs to be every single time? Is it got anything to do with coverage? You know, long snappers, that's usually the first guy down on a punt team because nobody can touch him.
I mean, maybe that factors in.
Anything to do with coverage? I don't know.
No idea. They don't really tell us. But he made second team, so that's cool. So we're going to be throwing laser beams back there to the punters.
He can put that up in his dorm room. Like, that can go literally go on like a certificate.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a preseason second team all SEC. Hudson Powell. It's kind of cool. So that's three of them. And then you have Jeremiah Cobb, fourth team.
I don't like it. I don't like it because
enough said.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up the SEC.
Like because and look, I get they go, yeah, but he made a team and, you know, kind of unproven. I was like, yeah, because the offense, I mean, I go back to Hunter being.
Here's the deal, though. Here's the deal.
I go back to Cobb, I think, being underused a little bit. So, and I think he's just going to be better. And not that I would have had him on first team. I would not have done that. I mean, I'm not that much. I'm not booging that much. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like him, but I'm not going to put him on first team. But I think that you could have made the argument because it is preseason. When you look at other running backs around the conference, he could have been second or third team.
So here's the deal. Let me run through the list, though. All right, you have Ahmad Hardy. This is so I don't know where they rank on the list, but yeah. Ahmad Hardy is back. I don't know how he's recovering from – I don't think that should factor in from his – you know, I think he was shot, wasn't he, or something like that. He had some kind of really big deal happen to him. He had 1,600 yards rushing last year and 16 touchdowns. So, like, he's probably going to be ahead of Cobb, and I'm okay with that. Kewon Lacy had 24 rushing touchdowns last year. He's a freaking beast.
Yeah.
He's back. And then Jaden Baugh – you maybe could make a case here, but he had more rushing yards and more touchdowns than Jeremiah Cobb last year. He had 8 touchdowns to Cobb's 5. Now, like you said, you could argue if you gave him more opportunities, you probably could have done better. But those are that's pretty dang studly running backs that are all returning. Fourth team may make sense.
May, I'm going to go.
Well, who do you put him? Who do you put him ahead?
I put the other two in front of him. I still have him. You're right. I mean, because I don't think the injury. I don't think that should count against him. So I mean, you come back. I mean, you put up that many. You put up 1,600 yards. You deserve to be first. That's probably your first team. Does it say where they are?
I'm just looking at the stats from last year. But I'm sure these are the guys that are ahead of him.
Yeah, he's got to be the first teamer. I mean,
him or Lacy. Yeah. They're 1 and 2,
I would put, you know, maybe that is my Auburn glasses. I put Cobb at 3. I mean, I would put
ahead him ahead of Jaden Baugh.
Yeah, I'd put him ahead of Jaden Baugh.
Bill Steele's really big on returning production, and I'm assuming he just went chalk there and just went production.
I wouldn't be shocked at all because I mean, it's not like I doubt he went and popped in the film between those two guys and watched every carry last year. And probably didn't see the situations. I mean, how many times did, you know, Auburn go 3 and out and never give the running back football?
I get it.
And so, and he ain't going to factor that kind of stuff in there on it. So you're right. He's probably just going off sheer production from last year and where to put him this year.
And then the last one on the list, and I think this is the most intriguing one and the most interesting conversation to have, is Joseph Simmons.
Yeah,
transfer from James Madison is fourth team all SEC. So here's my thing on that. Kind of like I just said previous, Phil Steele is really big on prior production. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've gone back and looked at his performances at James Madison, and they've basically figured he's one of the best 8 offensive tackles in the country. He's either number 7 or number 8 based off of his list. because you're going to have two tackles on each team. So I think that's pretty exciting. I think that's pretty good that he's able to look at what he's done at a lower level and sees that it translates into being one of the best in the SEC. I think that should be something we can kind of hang our hat on or be like, man, that's pretty high praise.
No, I'm fine with it. The fact they made the list, I'm happy about because he was quote unquote productive at his position at James Madison. And we've seen the James Madison guys that have transitioned to Indiana and they just won a national title. So clearly Phil factored that in, like that transitional phase, not necessarily. I mean, we talked just previously talked about him looking at production, but he probably on the transfers probably looked at, okay, how did these guys do coming from this school to the next level? And he saw James Madison. He thought, well, there's a national title there that came about from the players that went to Indiana. So
he's at least been in the room with Kurt Cignetti.
Exactly.
Maybe.
And so, and I told you coming in, you know, he's the one, the video that went viral where he gave the guy CPR on the field. Like his personality alone made me love him whenever he came in.
Yeah.
Because that was the clip that got shown all last year when one of his teammates faked being pushed down and he reached down and acted like he was giving him CPR to get him up. So team guy, hopefully the production's there. But I think it's good that he made the list. I do like the fact that he made the list. And it gives you – I mean, how many times have we questioned offensive line, Kyle, on these shows that we've done? So
all the fact of them?
This will give fans maybe a chance to look at it and go, okay, well, somebody believes we got something at offense.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my point. And just based off of how he grades and how he values, everything is based off of like what you've done, not what you can do. It's mostly what you've already done. So good stuff there. I want to shift the focus to talking about who's left off the list and see if there's a conversation to be had there. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you want to list your business and you're an Auburn alumni or a fan and you have a business, it's less than $1 a day, and you can broadcast it. We broadcast it to thousands of Auburn listeners every single day. So what are you doing? Take advantage of it, and let's get to rocking and rolling. It's buyauburn.com. And then give a shout-out to myself, Kyle Rush. If you have anything you want to plug yourself, we can do it too. Kyle Rush at KW.com, Keller Williams Real Estate here in the Auburn Opelika area. I got 4 investment opportunity townhomes. They come with a neighborhood pool. They do all your landscaping, fenced in backyards, and I even have proven game day rental revenue to show you. So you can get a income producing property as well. Just hit me up, Kyle Rush at KW.com. All right. So obviously the big one left off.
Before we move on, I just had you got those things up so you can't see me laughing down the bottom when you said, I'm going to take the opportunity to shout out me. Because you know what? I love me some.
Isn't there a song?
Yeah.
So what is the song that goes with that? It's a rap song.
It is. It's a rap song.
What is it?
I've forgotten what it is, but then I wanted
first
you
to I would like to thank me or something
you,
like that.
I want you to go further with it and be like, you know what? There ain't no I in team, but there's a me in team, and you need to join my team. And I fantastic. I absolutely love it. Yeah. Give Kyle a shout out.
It was Snoop Dogg.
Proven game day rental revenue. How about that?
Proven game day rental revenue. Not can't get that most. A lot of it's just speculation. We actually have proven revenue. So, All right. Who got left off the list? The obvious one, Byron Brown.
That's no doubt. First place you got to go. Byron Brown, who has played the last 2 years with 3,000-plus yards in the air, 1,000-plus yards on the ground. And I don't know if he's going to have that at Auburn this year. I said if he does get that at Auburn this year, Auburn's going to be flirting with 9 or 10 wins if you got a quarterback that does 3,000 through the air and 1,000 on the ground. And everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, that's the numbers that will result in. With the defense that Auburn has, it will result in that many wins if he has the same type year.
For sure. So here's the guys, though. So where should he be on this list? Okay, obviously right off the bat, Trinidad Chambliss, I think you've said this, I've said this, he's probably
best quarterback in the league.
Best quarterback in the league. Yep.
Could possibly be best quarterback in the country. Just saying.
I think I can't argue. Marcel Reed. Would you have him ahead of Marcel Reed?
I could make an argument where yes, based off his previous numbers the last 2 years. I think it hurts him that he has the name South Florida in front of his name the last 2 years.
He did get to the playoffs. Like you said, his statistics are underwhelming.
Yeah.
But they win. And I don't know they necessarily win because of him, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Arch Manning?
I'm not a believer.
Not either.
Arch Manning is going to have to make me a believer.
He's going to be ahead of him on the list, though. Like,
yeah.
I don't like it, but.
I don't like it. That's the thing. I knew Arch Manning was going to be on that. When you started reading off, and I don't have the list in front of me, I was like, Arch Manning's coming. Like
John Mateer?
That I could make an argument be ahead of Brown on. I told you I'm kind of a Mateer fan.
People don't like John Mateer, but I like John Mateer.
I'm a Mateer.
That injury he had against us really screwed him up the rest of the year. You know, he banged the thumb on the helmet, and then, you know, luckily that's kind of what kept us in the game. But you know what? When they had to have a drive at the end of the game, he dogged them right down the field, you know, and then threw a dot, and they
– Yeah.
Or did he run it in? Did he throw a touchdown or run it in? I can't remember.
I just know that he played hurt and he won, and I hated him that day, but I like him overall.
Gunnar Stockton's going to be probably in the conversation. I don't think he's better.
Yeah.
And then Lenora Sellers is another one.
Gunnar Stockton and Arch Manning get all the kudos and all the love that I think could possibly go to other quarterbacks, in my opinion. And
that's fair.
Now,
because they win. They're on winning teams.
They do. They're on winning teams. You can't tell me that, you know, Arch doesn't have the name to help him, and you can't tell me that Gunnar doesn't have the school that's got a couple of national titles over the last few years to help him. So I get that and the team around them helps build that name, but both of them, and they may, Kyle, they may do it this year. They both have to prove to me that they're better than what everybody keeps saying they are.
No homer. This is what my list would look like. Trinidad is one.
Yeah.
I like John Mateer, too.
I like Mateer. I got zero problem. If you put Mateer at two, I got zero problem with that.
I guess, like, everybody maybe can't be wrong. Maybe they're just thinking on the name, but whatever. I'll put Arch Manning three, but I ain't putting nobody else ahead of Byron Brown at four. I'm not – you can have Gunnar Stockton, you can have Lenora Sellers, you can have all them.
Yeah.
I'm taking Byron Brown at least fourth team.
Yeah. Yeah. He should have been. I mean, I just don't understand how you leave a guy off that list with 3,000 through the air and 1,000 on the ground.
I don't either. Especially if you value prior production, you know.
And it wasn't like it was a bunch of slacks. Like, I mean, he played Florida and beat them.
You want me to say it again?
Yeah.
Let me say my stat again that I looked up.
Go ahead.
All right. If you take all the SEC quarterbacks that played against Florida and you throw in Carson Beck and you look at total yardage gained, rushing and passing, Byron Brown had the most. And it was on the road.
That's wild to me.
There you go.
So the numbers speak for themselves. And he played against Carson Beck in Miami and gave them a run for their money. And those guys played for a national title.
They didn't really give him a run for their money, but they did play him.
Narrative here, all right?
I had to shoot that down. People would definitely say something about that. But regardless, you know, I think he should be in the conversation. All right, is there anybody else you would think should be on there based off of their prior production?
See, you're doing this list, and I told you about a list that our guys from The Drive on our radio station said yesterday, and they were talking about, like, they did not just this list, individual list, they did team lists, and Auburn was outside the top 40. And his reasoning for it was because of lack of experience for Byron Brown and thought that, you know, Golish still was inexperienced as far as coaching was concerned. And I didn't like that either.
Yeah.
Because I think Byron Brown has the experience. SEC experience? No, he does not. I'll give him that. But as far as them saying he's not an experienced quarterback, I'm like, what are you talking about? He's a three-year starter.
Yeah.
Like, you're bringing in a three-year starter. And as far as Golish is concerned, he's coached in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, he wasn't the head coach, but he's coached in the SEC. So
yeah,
it gets
that's probably another show because I haven't seen all those lists. I need to see where I need to see that. I think I saw somebody said he also projects the record to be 6-6. So that could be a whole, but I haven't confirmed that. So that could be a whole nother conversation. I want to have some fun before we leave, though.
Okay.
Alabama's dead last in the SEC in recruiting.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's fun.
Like, so I had this discussion with one of my guests this morning off air because we're not a sports show. We do community stuff, and they were asking me about that. And I said, not about Alabama being dead last. I said, here's the scary part for Alabama fans. Like, they could get everybody they wanted moving forward for 2027, and they still are not going to move up very much because they're going to have to share that with everybody else. So the 2027 class, here's the thing. I talk about success begets success. Well, failure begets failure too. So if it's that bad now, they need to be more worried about 2028, 2029 because of that extension they've already given him and what direction the program's headed, because they already, as fans, have a bad taste in their mouth, Kyle, about the way the season ended.
And they don't like this. They don't like the recruiting thing.
No, and now the recruiting is not showing up where it's supposed to. Transfer portal's not necessarily where it needs to be. So, there are going to be some – when you and I go to Shoal, there are going to be some Red Elephant clubs with some long faces in that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
There are going to be some – all those guys that were grinning when we were in there with our Auburn gear before, they may not be grinning so much these next few times we go.
No, you're probably right. It may be a while because Shoal shut down and they're completely redoing everything.
I know.
But
– sad.
Sad times.
Like Alabama fans right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Hey, we're going to get out of here. But just remember that Alabama's last in recruiting on June 17th. If you don't remember anything else from the show, remember that Alabama is dead last in the SEC in recruiting.
Fantastic.
Guys, we're going to get out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.